Manuscript Releases, Volume 3, Mr. Number 201, Unpublished E.G. White Materials Desired for Use in the Compilation Presenting Principles of True Science, Adam and Eve, Made in God's Image. God is a being, and man was made in his image. After God created man in his image, the form was perfect in all its arrangements, but it had no vitality. Then a personal, self-existing God breathed into that form the breath of life, and man became a living, breathing, intelligent being. All parts of the human machinery were put in motion. The heart, the arteries, the veins, the tongue, the hands, the feet, the perceptions of the mind, the senses, were placed under physical law. It was then that man became a living soul. Air, vitiated by powers of darkness, already sprinklings from the vials of God's wrath have been let fall upon land and sea, affecting the elements of the air. The causes of these unusual conditions are being searched for, but in vain. God has not restrained the powers of darkness from carrying forward their deadly work of vitiating the air, one of the sources of life and nutrition, with a deadly miasma. Not only is vegetable life affected, but man suffers from pestilences. Cholera and unexplainable diseases have broken out. These things are the result of drops from the vials of God's wrath being sprinkled on the earth, and are but faint representations of what will be in the near future. Allopathy, not to exalt, but in no case are you to stand as do the physicians of the world to exalt allopathy above every other practice, and call all other methods quackery and error. For from the beginning to the present time the results of allopathy have made a most objectionable showing. There has been loss of life in your sanitarium because drugs have been administered, and these give no chance for nature to do her work of restoration. Drug medication has broken up the power of the human machinery, and the patients have died. Others have carried the drugs away with them, making less effective the simple remedies nature uses to restore the system. The students in your institution, Battle Creek Sanitarium, are not to be educated to regard drugs as a necessity. They are to be educated to leave drugs alone. Angels, destroying, bring disaster and destruction the time of trouble. Trouble such as was not since there was a nation, is right upon us, and we are like the sleeping virgins. We are to awake and ask the Lord Jesus to place underneath us his everlasting arms, and carry us through the time of trial before us. Let us turn our attention away from unimportant things, and give ourselves to God. We scarcely dream of the destroying angels that already are permitted to bring disaster and destruction in their path. Angels, light of, seen at times angels are commissioned to watch in every family. Each one has the watch care of a holy angel. These angels are invisible, but sometimes they let their light shine so distinctly that it is recognized. I believe this to be the case in the revealing you have had. This manifestation is teaching you that the Lord loves you, and that his angels are guarding you. You are kept by the power of God. Many things of like character will take place. This manifestation of light is to encourage you, as you say it has done, to do right. You have had a glimpse of the light of God, and let this greatly encourage your hearts, making you thankful. All of us should be thankful at all times for the truth that heavenly angels are watching us moment by moment. Very many, had they seen the light you have seen, would rejoice and be thankful. Angels, power over human mind and will if permitted, the evil angels will work the minds of men until they have no mind or will of their own. They are led as the angels cast out from heaven were led. Under Satan's influence these angels uttered sentiments directly opposite to loyalty to God. Thus the family of God in heaven became corrupted. Animals, cruelty to your wrong habits of eating have so educated your moral powers that you have not the spirit of a Christian. Your temper is perverse, and your treatment of dumb animals is wrong. I have been taken back in your life, and have seen the spirit which is revealed in you, working out evil. You delight to hurt and bruise. If the tenderness of Christ was in your heart, you would not treat animals as you do. Would Jesus do as you have done? Anxiety, not work, that wears men out. It is not work that wears men out, but sadness, anxiety, and worry. Arts, common, skill in, a gift of God the youth are to learn how to work interestedly and intelligently, that, wherever they are, they may be respected because they have knowledge of those arts which are so essential for practical life. In the place of being day laborers, under an overseer, they are to strive to be masters of their trades, to place themselves where they can command wages as good carpenters, printers, or as educators in agricultural work. Bible, a reliable history of creation. The sophistry in regard to the world being created in an indefinite period of time is one of Satan's falsehoods. God speaks to the human family in language they can comprehend. He does not leave the matter so indefinite that human beings can handle it according to their theories. Blood, transformation of food into the transformation of food into good blood is a wonderful process, and all human beings should be intelligent upon this subject. In order that the digestive fluids may be called into action, and the saliva becomes mixed with the food, the teeth must do their work carefully and thoroughly. Each organ of the body gathers its nutrition to keep its different parts in action. The brain must be supplied with its share, the bone with its portion. The great master builder is at work every moment, supplying every muscle and tissue, from the brain to the end of the fingers and toes, with life and strength. Day by day, the human structure performs its work under the great master architect, who superintends every function of the body, seeking to make it into a glorious temple for himself. Blood vessels, effects on, of stress and overwork. I have been listening to the words of my guide in regard to elder, and the substance of them was this: the blood being attracted to the weakest point, there is a wearing of the channel through which the blood flows. This condition of things is making his condition a critical one, and his brethren will need to exercise great caution, that they may not excite by any course of action. Unless this human agent shall change his course of action in continuous labor, and submit to have the peace of God rule in his heart, there will be a rush of blood to the brain, which will disqualify him for labor. He will counteract his own work. The Lord will not, cannot, help his servant, unless he will cooperate with God, unless he will stop worrying and trust in the Lord. Elder, look away from yourself. Trust not in yourself. Have faith in God. Through your strong feelings, the blood veins are filled with blood, and you are in serious danger of losing your life. Therefore, you need to place yourself in a position where you will not have upon you a pressure of the necessity of continuous labor, and where you must have the guidance and control of others. Your impetuosity must be under the control of higher powers, else you will make great trouble for yourself and for those who are associated with you. Brain weariness and rest I understand fully in regard to your head weariness. I know that we must not presume on our brain power, for the nerves of the brain will not bear overtaxation. I do not feel surprised that you have decided that it will be best for you to do manual work for a while. I would not say anything to discourage you in this. Breathing deep, a means of healing. The physician should teach the patient how to breathe deeply, and this in many cases will be found to be a means of healing. Calamities, to cleanse the world. God sees that the world is in need of cleansing. In the very near future, this cleansing will come. It will at first be done in a limited degree, and then with greater and still greater power, till men will see that God means to bring them to repentance. Calamities, before the Son of Man appears in the clouds of heaven, everything in nature will be convulsed. Lightning from heaven uniting with the fire in the earth will cause the mountains to burn like a furnace, and pour out their floods of lava over villages and cities, molten masses of rock thrown into the water by the upheaval of things hidden in the earth. There will be mighty earthquakes and great destruction of human life. But as in the days of the great deluge Noah was preserved in the ark that God had prepared for him, so in these days of destruction and calamity, God will be the refuge of his believing ones. Calamities, meaning of, can we not see that the judgments of God are in the world? As I think of godless men sailing the broad waters, with only a few boards between them and eternity, I am filled with awe and with fear for them. Scene after scene has passed before me concerning the loss of vessels. I saw vessels lost in dense fogs. Angels of God were commissioned to withdraw from some of these vessels, and they withdrew. The officers and crew were cursing and swearing, and acting in a godless manner, as if there were no God. Those in charge were half drunk. Their reason was confused. There were ministers of the gospel among the passengers, but some of them were smoking and drinking, and their example was no restraint on officers or crew. Vessel after vessel was lost that might have been saved had the men in charge been in possession of their reasoning powers. But the Lord did not work a miracle to save them. He did not say to the angry, tumultuous waters, "Peace, be still." Neither did he give clear discernment to the men who by self-indulgence had robbed themselves of understanding. Disaster came, and nearly all were lost. Years ago this scene passed before me as a representation of what would happen in the future. I saw that costly buildings in the cities, supposed to be fireproof, would be consumed by fire. The fire that lately swept through Paterson, New York, and the fires that have been in other places, are a fulfillment in part of the warning. Yet God has not executed his wrath without mercy. His hand is stretched out still. His message must be given in Greater New York. The people must be shown how it is possible for God, by a touch of his hand, to destroy the property they have gathered together against the last great day. A little longer will the voice of mercy be heard. A little longer will the gracious invitation be given. If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. God sends his warning message to the cities everywhere. Calamities, meaning of is it true that the end of all things is at hand? What mean the awful calamities by sea vessels hurled into eternity without a moment's warning? What mean the accidents by land fire consuming the riches that men have hoarded, much of which has been accumulated by oppression of the poor? The Lord will not interfere to protect the property of those who transgress his law, break his covenant, and trample upon his Sabbath, accepting in its place a spurious rest day. The plagues of God are already falling upon the earth, sweeping away the most costly structures as if by a breath of fire from heaven. Will not these judgments bring professing Christians to their senses? God permits them to come that the world may take heed, that sinners may be afraid and tremble before him. Calamities, earthquakes, tornadoes, floods, disease preceding the great sign of the coming of the Son of Man, there will be signs and wonders in the heavens. I expect that during the year 1890 there will be great mortality. There will be crimes greater than any now on record. There will be weeping and lamentation and woe. During the past year, 1889, there has been brought to us almost daily the news of disasters by sea and by land, unusually destructive fires, earthquakes burying cities and villages with their inhabitants, railway accidents, most terrible, tornadoes and floods that destroyed an immense amount of property, including the terrible Johnstown and Williamsport floods, which destroyed more than 2,000 lives. The disasters of the past year in America have caused hearts to tremble, and similar disasters have fallen upon other countries. Already sprinklings from the vials of God's wrath have been let fall upon land and sea, affecting the elements of the air. The causes of these unusual conditions are being searched for, but in vain. God has not restrained the powers of darkness from carrying forward their deadly work of vitiating the air, one of the sources of life and nutrition, with a deadly miasma. Not only is vegetable life affected, but man suffers from pestilences. Cholera and unexplainable diseases have broken out. Diphtheria, raging to a limited extent, is gathering its harvest of precious little ones, and seems to be almost uncontrollable. These things are the result of drops from the vials of God's wrath being sprinkled on the earth, and are but faint representations of what will be in the near future. Earthquakes in various places have been felt, but these disturbances have been very limited. This year we may expect to have more. During the year that has just closed, whole cities have become nearly extinct. Thousands of people have been buried in the bowels of the earth. Premonitory convulsions have been felt in many places, giving warning of what may come as a surprise when the earth shakes and opens. Terrible shocks will come upon the earth, and the lordly palaces erected at great expense will certainly become heaps of ruins. The earth's crust will be rent by the outbursts of the elements concealed in the bowels of the earth. These elements, once broken loose, will sweep away the treasures of those who for years have been adding to their wealth by securing large possessions at starvation prices from those in their employ. And the religious world, too, is to be terribly shaken, for the end of all things is at hand. Calamity of war, we are standing on the threshold of great and solemn events. Prophecies are fulfilling. Strange and eventful history is being recorded in the books of heaven, events which it was declared should shortly precede the great day of God. Everything in the world is in an unsettled state. The nations are angry, and great preparations for war are being made. Nation is plotting against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. The great day of God is hastening greatly. But although the nations are mustering their forces for war and bloodshed, the command to the angels is still in force that they hold the four winds until the servants of God are sealed in their foreheads. What creates war, devastation, and death? Passion coming into collision with passion, tyrants seeking to oppress their fellow men. Because ambition will not be satisfied to walk humbly and meekly with God, seeking to know his will and his way, and doing his work with a contrite heart. War and bloodshed have been, are still, and will continue to be. War is popular. To kill and destroy is in the sight of the world to be brave, worthy of a reward. The time is near when Jesus will take the kingdoms and possess the kingdom under the whole heavens. He will judge among the nations and rebuke among many people. Wars shall cease unto the ends of the earth. calamities in the cities when God's restraining hand is removed, the destroyer begins his work. Then in our cities the greatest calamities will come. Is this because people do not keep Sunday? No, but because men have trampled upon the law of Jehovah. The Lord is slow to anger. This should inspire the heart with gratitude. The Lord is slow to anger, and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Nahum 1 verse 3. The Lord puts constraint upon his own attributes. Omnipotence is exerted over omnipotence himself. Notwithstanding the perversity of men who are cumberers of the ground, the Lord Jehovah bears with them because there are some in the wicked cities who are within the possibility of forgiveness and acceptance with God. It is something that makes my heart sore and sad and at times in an agony, that those who have great light and knowledge should abuse the mercies of God. His long-suffering and forbearance are scarcely thought of. The Lord is teaching men that there are limits to his forbearance. In fires, in floods, in earthquakes, in the fury of the great deep, in calamities by sea and by land, the warning is given that God's Spirit will not always strive with men. The times in which we live are times of great depravity and crime of every degree. Why? Because men whom God has blessed and favored have reduced his holy law to a dead letter, making void the law of God by the traditions and inventions of the man of sin. A more than common contempt is put upon the commandments of God, while the representative men of the colonies have exalted the first day of the week to be observed by all men. They would have men bow down and worship it, as did Nebuchadnezzar when he exalted the golden image in the plains of Dura. When wickedness comes to this pass, it is fast reaching its height. Well may the prayer go forth from the people of God, calling for his interference. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Calamities in the cities God has a storehouse of retributive judgments, which he permits to fall upon those who have continued in sin in the face of great light. I have seen the most costly structures and buildings erected and supposed to be fireproof. And just as Sodom perished in the flames of God's vengeance, so will these proud structures become ashes. I have seen vessels which cost immense sums of money wrestling with the mighty waters, seeking to breast the angry billows. But with all their treasures of gold and silver, and with their human freight they sink into a watery grave. Man's pride will be buried with the treasures he has accumulated by fraud. God will avenge the widows and orphans who in hunger and nakedness have cried to him for help from oppression and abuse. And the Lord keeps a record of every action for good or evil. The time is right upon us when there will be sorrow in the world that no human balm can heal. The flattering monuments of men's greatness will be crumbled in the dust, even before the last great destruction comes upon the world. Calamities to increase he who remains true to principle will never be left by the Lord to become weak and corrupted. Let all who live in this age, even in the year 1900, remember that they are surrounded by the perils of the last days. The whole world, with all its iniquity, is passing in review before God. I am instructed by the Lord to warn our people not to flock to the cities to find homes for their families. To fathers and to mothers I am instructed to say, fail not to keep your children within your own premises. There is earnest work to be done for the children. Before the overflowing scourge shall come upon all the dwellers upon the earth, the Lord calls upon all who serve him, those who are Israelites indeed, gather your children into your own houses. Gather them in from the classes that are voicing the words of Satan, who are disobeying the commandments of God. Get out of the cities as soon as possible. Establish church schools. Gather in your children, and give them the word of God as the foundation of all their education. Had the churches in different localities sought counsel of God, they would not need that I should write to them on this point. Child's life, first 7 to 10 years. The first 7 or 10 years of a child's life is the time when lasting impressions for good or for evil are made. Conscience, the regulative faculty. The conscience is the regulative faculty, and if a man allows his conscience to become perverted, he cannot serve God aright. Cooking, basic science cooking may be regarded as less desirable than some other lines of work, but in reality it is a science in value above all other sciences. Thus God regards the preparation of healthful food. Creation, created works, a curse on all nature is confused, for God forbade the earth to carry out the purpose he had originally designed for it. Let there be no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. The curse of God is upon all creation. Every year it makes itself more decidedly felt. Dayline, not to try to solve. Do not allow your mind to wander from the main points of the truth for this time, to grasp unimportant theories and problems. If anyone gives you unessential problems to solve, tell him that God has placed in your hands a work to be done. Tell him that you are doing a great work, and cannot come down to try to solve the problem of the day line. You have the message for this time, the third angel's message to give to the people. This is your work. Hold the beginning of your confidence firm unto the end. The truth is to be repeated, line upon line, precept upon precept. Depression, mental, effect on health. You are a dyspeptic. Mental depression causes dyspepsia, and this aggravates the mental disorder, and unless you can be induced through change of some kind to be attracted away from yourself and from your complaints, you will cut short your life, and while you do live, be unable to think healthfully and to work healthfully. Your imagination will be diseased. You take for reality impressions in which there is no truth and for which there is no foundation. You have been alone too much, and yet you choose this rather than to be connected with others. If you had now some very light physical employment, it would divert your thoughts from yourself and be of great advantage to you. Disasters, natural, protection in Satan is watching his chances to secure souls to himself, and unless we have God's protection, he will break forth in violence and his angels will be set at work to do some marked mischief. The terrible tornadoes, the railroad disasters, the calamities at sea, are because of Satan's wrath. The Lord does not work a miracle to protect those who are constantly working against himself and strengthening the power of darkness. And this is only the beginning. Their hearts will not repent because they are fully set in them to do evil, and that continually. These disasters, which should make men afraid, are now regarded only by those who fear for their own personal safety, themselves and those connected with them. Dress, fashionable, a cause of pulmonary disease. I am afraid that sufficient instruction is not given regarding the necessity of avoiding the causes that produce consumption. Many suffer from pulmonary disease, not because they have inherited it, but because of some carelessness on their own part. If they would live much in the open air, taking full, deep inspirations of fresh air, and if they would dress and eat in accordance with the principles of health, they would soon improve. Fashionable dressing is one of the chief causes of coughs and diseased lungs. Those who are threatened with pulmonary diseases should take especial care not to allow the extremities of the body to be chilled. The wrist should be covered with warm wristlets, for if the hands and arms are chilled, the lungs are injuriously affected. During the cold winter months, soft woolen stockings or socks should be worn, and these should be changed often, perhaps 2 or 3 times a week. The feet should never be left damp. Many mothers show very little wisdom in the way in which they dress their children. They allow the dictates of fashion to rule them, to the great detriment of the health of their children. It would seem almost as if they did not have reasoning powers. They dress their little girls in such a way that the limbs are left unprotected, while those parts of the body nearest the heart, and therefore naturally the warmest, are covered with several thicknesses of clothing. Thus the blood is driven from those parts of the body which need it most, because they are the most remote from the heart, and they are chilled. Earth, crust of, to be rent by elements of ruin, terrible shocks will come upon the earth, and the lordly palaces erected at great expense will certainly become heaps of ruins. The earth's crust will be rent by the outburst of the elements concealed in the bowels of the earth. These elements, once broken loose, will sweep away the treasures of those who for years have been adding to their wealth by securing large possessions at starvation prices from those in their employ. And the religious world, too, is to be terribly shaken, for the end of all things is at hand. Education. A balanced education is a science, and it embraces much a physical as well as an intellectual knowledge. It teaches the human agent how to perform his duty, and to healthfully work all the human machinery. Education. A balanced the science of true godliness was the life which through Jesus Christ runs parallel with the life of Jehovah. It is enduring because the student can take it with himself into the higher grade, the courts above. Minds must be kept up, up, up. There must be no cheap, downward tendencies allowed. That which the universe of heaven deems important in all education is that kind of knowledge which has been revealed from eternity, and which enters into his purposes, expressing his mind, and involving his glory. This is the true science of all education. The revelation of what concerns man's eternal destiny has been largely laid aside as a mystery. Other reading and other principles have been brought in. Human inventions, called education, have been counterworking the infinite counsels of heaven. This is called higher education, but it is an insult to God. The themes that are to be man's study throughout eternal ages are so momentous that they not only disdain the discoveries of man, but engross to themselves the undivided attention of the only begotten Son of God. True education would have held its sacred holy principles belittled and degraded had it been mingled with the topics now called by men the higher science of education. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the light of the world. He contemplated the situation of the world. He saw that eternal interests were involved in the choice man should make. An immortal crown was presented for the overcomer, and unhappiness and eternal ruin for those who neglected the science of salvation, which is the only term to which higher education can be applied. Eggs, used with unfermented wine, I dreamed of having the care of a child that was weak, and seemed unable to rally. I thought the same physician stood by the cradle, and said, "Have you any wine in the house? Beat up a raw egg, and give it to the child with grape wine, i.e., the unfermented juice of the grape, 3 times each day. He will rally." Electricity, God creates, that gives life to seed. He, God, employs many unseen agencies to make the seeds apparently thrown away, living plants. First appear the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. God creates the electricity that gives life to the seed, vitality to the blade, the ear, and the corn in the ear. Who else can be depended on to give the due proportion required of all the agencies to perfect the harvest of fruits and grains? Let man employ his agencies to the utmost limit. He must then depend on his Creator, who knows just what is needed for the harvest, which is connected to him by wonderful links of his own wonderful power, beyond the human agency. Without these unseen agencies, seed is valueless. Emotions, violent, may endanger life. The giving way to violent emotions endangers life. Many die under a burst of rage and passion. Many educate themselves to have spasms. These they can prevent if they will, but it requires will power to overcome a wrong course of action. All this must be a part of the education received in the school, for we are God's property. The sacred temple of the body must be kept pure and uncontaminated, that God's Holy Spirit may dwell therein. Energies and passions, no new order of, implanted in man after fall. We are not to suppose that since the transgression of Adam, God has given to human beings a new order of energies and passions, for then it would appear that God has interfered to implant in the human race sinful propensities. Christ began his work of conversion as soon as man transgressed, that, through obedience to the law of God and faith in Christ, he might regain the lost image of God. Through the cultivation of righteous principles, man may gain the victory over the bias to evil. If he is obedient to the law of God, the senses are no longer warped and twisted. The faculties are no longer perverted and wasted by being exercised on objects that are of a character to lead away from God. In and through the grace bestowed by heaven, the words, the thoughts, and the energies may be purified, a new character may be formed, and the debasement of sin overcome. Eucalyptus, a useful remedy we are sorry to hear that has met with so serious an accident. I have often found the application of eucalyptus leaves to a wounded part to be good in allaying inflammation and drawing out the poison. Family, members of, will know each other in heaven. God's greatest gift is Christ, whose life is ours, given for us. He died for us, and was raised for us, that we might come forth from the tomb to a glorious companionship with heavenly angels, to meet our loved ones and to recognize their faces. For the Christ-likeness does not destroy their image, but transforms it into his glorious image. Every saint connected in family relationship here will know each other there. Fasting, and the spiritual life. The spirit of true fasting and prayer is the spirit which yields mind, heart, and will to God. Feet, cold, may cause illness. We need to remember that cold feet are frequently the cause of illness. God will not work a miracle to preserve the health of those who neglect the simplest laws of life. The failure to take what some regard as useless precautions has often brought disease resulting in death. Fire, sacred, represents God. The experience of Nadab and Abihu should be a lesson to all who bear any responsibilities in the service of God. An example of unrighteousness greatly dishonors God, and he will not tolerate it. The 10th chapter of Leviticus records the sin of Aaron's sons and their punishment. The sacred fire which God commanded should be used in the service of the sanctuary represented God. This fire never went out day or night, and this was to be used in all their service. But Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. Fog. Lesson from We Came to Russell Harbor, Australia, a small place, but quite interesting in appearance. Mountains were all around this place except where it was on the water side. This seemed to be the stopping place for most of the passengers. In approaching Russell there were islands of rocks and on the sides of the rocks were trees and vegetation growing very high up. And as we thought we were going straight into harbor the anchor was cast, for a fog had settled down upon us. The captain said, We are caught in a fog. And I will not run any risks, for the peril may involve the boat and passengers. And we honored his judgment. For about 1 hour the fog did not lift, and the sun did not penetrate it. Then the musicians who were to leave the boat at this place entertained the impatient passengers with music, well selected and well rendered. It did not jar upon the senses as the previous evening, but was soft and really grateful to the senses because it was musical. Between 8 and 9 o'clock the fog lifted. The sun had penetrated through it, and it was wonderful how rapidly the most of the fog was swept away, leaving the harbor clear and perfectly safe to be entered by boat. I called to mind how many times this very symbol had been realized in our Christian experience. We dared not venture in a mist and perplexity, and were obliged to stand still and see the salvation of God. The words from the living oracles teach us when tried and tempted and surrounded with difficulties. The safe course for us to pursue is to patiently wait, to be of good courage, and commit the keeping of soul and body to God. Fog, home made the heart must be faithfully sentineled, else pride and rebellion will bear rule within. Evils without will awaken evils within, and the soul will wander in its own homemade fog, all the time charging upon someone else the result of its own unchristian course of action. Food, God's bountiful provision, husband your strength. But do not let the impression go forth that Elder S. strength is kept up by any special food or drink. Make God your strength. Seek Him, and trust wholly in His power to work in your behalf. Food, benefits of, not determined by quantity. The quantity of food eaten does not determine the benefit received. Many, even among Seventh-day Adventists, eat too freely. Their health would be much better if they ate less. When too much food is eaten, the stomach is overburdened, and is unable to perform its proper functions. The result is that the digestive organs are disordered. If those who have brought themselves to this condition would eat proper food, and only about half as much as they have been in the habit of eating, their digestive organs would recover. God a person, not a perfume through Jesus Christ, God not a perfume, not something intangible, but a personal God created man, and endowed him with intelligence and power. It is God that thundereth in the heavens. His voice reacheth to the ends of the earth. He holdeth the winds in his hands. He sendeth lightnings with rain. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. He melteth the mountains like wax at his presence. He mocketh the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice. He mocketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. The Lord is a living, personal God. A living, personal Savior came to our world to make of none effect the specious twistings and serpentine turnings of Satan. He came to carry out his plans written before him in a book. Men who had large religious knowledge, but no depth of piety or experimental knowledge of God in obeying the scriptures, were speculating about God. Christ revealed to men the moral and religious constitution. God, a person, not the things of nature, the whole of the natural world bears testimony to the works of the living God. Nature is our lesson book, given to us by God, the creator of all things. These things of nature are not to be called God. They are the expression of God's character, but they are not God. By the things of his creation, we may understand God, and his love, his power, and his glory, but there is a great danger of men worshipping nature as God. The artistic skill of human beings produces very fine samples of beautiful workmanship, revealing things which delight the eye. And these things give us something of the idea of the designer, but the thing made is not the man. It is not the work that is to be exalted, but the man who designed the things so much prized. So it is with nature. The Lord's power is constantly revealed as a miracle-working power, that the human family may see an infinity above and beyond the things made, that they may know that he, who formed such a being as man, has also created all the beauties of the natural world. God, above all science, God, the living, personal God, the author and ruler of nature, is above all science. He is acquainted with science that is inexplicable to the greatest minds in our world. In his sight, the nations before him are as a drop in the bucket. He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, or the beasts thereof for a burnt offering. How few have any knowledge of God! How few understand the greatness and majesty of our God! Human language cannot define him. His ways are past finding out. God, governor and supreme ruler of all earthly kingdoms, there is wickedness that is being made strong through making void the law of Jehovah. Many have regarded the divine precepts as a dead letter. They have not accepted God's law as the rule of their life in all business transactions. And in their disregard of this law, they give expression to a disregard for the authority of the governor of the universe of heaven. All the earthly kingdoms are now under God's supervision. He who made the heavens and the earth is supreme ruler. In the whole territory of the world which he has created, there is not a kingdom that is independent of God. And when men and women in an earthly kingdom or community understand the laws made to govern the subjects of the ruler of the universe, but still refuse obedience, they bring themselves under condemnation of the law that God, our supreme ruler, has established from the foundation of the world. God, to cleanse the world, God sees that the world is in need of cleansing. In the very near future, this cleansing will come. It will at first be done in a limited degree, and then with greater and still greater power, till men will see that God means to bring them to repentance. Health, closely related to conscience, and religion, love for God is essential for life and health. In order to have perfect health, our hearts must be filled with love and hope and joy. Heart, beats independent of human will. You have been bought with a price, by the death of the only begotten Son of God. Your heart beats on. On that pulsation depends your life. Its beating is independent of your will. You eat and sleep in careless indifference. But God's guardian care over you is unceasing. He controls the ebb and flow of the vital current. Where is your gratitude that should rise from human lips for his preserving care? Heart failure may be caused by intemperance in eating and drinking. Lately I have read in the daily paper of the death of many men in important positions in this country, men 40, 50, 60, and 70 years of age. Their death is almost always attributed to failure of the heart, but in reality it was caused by intemperance in eating and drinking. Doubtless many of these men were smokers and liquor drinkers, and by the use of tobacco and liquor had poisoned the system. Had their habits of eating, drinking, and sleeping been regular, and in accordance with the principles of strict temperance, they might have lived for many years longer. Heavens and earth reveal a love beyond computation. Christ came to this world to reveal the Father's love for fallen man. In the heavens above and in the earth beneath, in everything that is beautiful and lovely, in the lofty trees, the opening bud, the blossoming flower, we see an expression of the love of God. There is no measurement by which the love of God can be computed. Home missionary work, the very best you can do, the very best home missionary work by taking care of God's temple, not defiling it by gross indulgence of human passions, not imperiling it by neglect, by undue wear and overwork. Do not presume to overtax this wonderful machinery, lest some part give way, and bring your work to a standstill. Hypnotism, not to tamper with Adam, listened to the specious sophistry of Satan, and received it as truth. He had originally the wonderful gift of a sinless nature, but he listened to the falsehoods of the one who fell from his first estate. Satan exercised his hypnotism upon him, and Adam, listening to him, sinned, and thus opened the door through which the enemy could ever gain access to human beings. Adam and Eve lost the spiritual life that would have been theirs by continual endowment. Impression, wrong, influence of I found Dr. B's wife in the same condition that Dr. A's sister is in. They said she was unable to eat anything but meat, and that her blood was turning to water. But the light given me was, her impression that she must live on meat, was not correct. I was instructed that she was placing herself mentally in a position in which she should not be. If she would discard the use of meat for 1 year, the unfavorable position in which she now is would be changed, and there would be an opportunity for healthy action to take place in her system. She could, if she overcame her meat eating, be in a much better condition and live to glorify God. Insanity, since species of all sin is selfishness. Satan's first sin was selfishness. He sought to grasp power, to exalt self. A species of insanity led him to seek to supersede God. And the temptation which led Adam to sin was the false statement of Satan that it was possible for him to attain to something more than he already enjoyed possible for him to be as God himself. Thus seeds of selfishness were sown in the human heart. Source of intellectual power, students to draw from often erroneous opinions are transcribed on the mind, and these lead to an unwise course of action. Students should have time to talk with God, time to live in hourly, conscious communion with the principles of truth and righteousness and mercy. At this time, straightforward investigation of the heart is essential. The student must place himself where he can draw from the source of spiritual and intellectual power. He must require that every cause which asks his sympathy and cooperation has the approval of the reason which God has given him, and the conscience which the Holy Spirit is controlling. He is not to perform an action that does not harmonize with the deep, holy principles which minister light to his soul and vigor to his will. Only thus can he do God the highest service. Juvenile delinquency and diet, if the consciences can be aroused to see the errors in the preparation of the food, and their influence upon the moral tendencies of our nature, there would be in every family decided reforms. Knowledge, spurious, the product of Satan, there is a spurious knowledge, the knowledge of evil and sin, which has been brought into the world by the cunning of Satan. The pursuit of this knowledge is prompted by unsanctified desires, unholy aims. Its lessons are dearly bought, but many will not be convinced that they are better left unlearned. The sons and daughters of Adam are fully as inquisitive and presumptuous as was Eve. They venture, contrary to the will of God, to gain knowledge which results, as did Eve's, in the loss of Eden. Satan found only one tree by which he could endanger the safety of Adam and Eve. There was no danger to them in approaching any but the tree of knowledge. He planned to attract the holy pair to that tree, and thus lead them to do the very thing which God had forbidden. When will men learn that which has been so fully demonstrated in the history of the past? The workings of Satan show that he can be neither idle nor harmless. Yet how pleasing men and women still find Satan's allurements. Today his arguments are the same that he presented to Eve. He still uses flattery. He still creates envy and distrust, and excites the desire for self-exaltation. Life, no, without light did God speak but one word, you would at once be still in death. Day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, God works by his infinite power to keep you alive. It is he who supplies the air which keeps life in the body. Should God neglect man as man neglects God, what would become of the race? Without fresh air to breathe, the lungs, the avenues of life, would be clogged. The food would be a minister of evil, and death would result. Ephe, hidden by God in rough bulb the parables, by means of which he loved to teach lessons of truth, show how open his spirit was to the influences of nature, and how he delighted to gather spiritual teaching from the surroundings of daily life. The birds of the air, the lilies of the field, the sower and the seed, the shepherd and the sheep, with these Christ illustrated immortal truth. He drew illustrations from the facts of life, facts of experience familiar to the hearers: the hid treasure, the pearl, the fishing net, the lost coin, the prodigal son, the houses on the rock and on the sand. In his lessons there was something to interest every mind, to appeal to every heart. Thus the daily task, instead of being a mere round of toil, bereft of higher thoughts, was brightened and uplifted by constant reminders of the spiritual and the unseen. Life, wherein friction of life as it now appears is not what God designed it should be. And this is why there is so much that is perplexing, for there is much wear and friction. Liquor poisons tissues. Those who indulge in the use of tobacco or intoxicating liquor fill the tissues of the body with poison and weaken the nerve power. They allow Satan to rob them of the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. Through a course of their own pursuing, their reason passes under the enemy's control. Malaria, spiritual, world charged with the atmosphere of the world, is charged with spiritual malaria. All who accept of Jesus Christ as their personal Savior must count themselves dead to all things in their life conduct that Christ would not approve. Man highest work of God, of all the works of God, man stands highest, because he is to represent God. Men and women are the members of Christ's body, and they are to receive from one another respect and love and kindness, because they have been bought with a price, even the blood of the Son of God. Man, crowning work of creation, man is the crowning work of all that God has made. The proper study of every learner is man. Science, true and unadulterated, in all its achievements, is to be laid at the feet of the God of science. Man is a being to be prized. Man a free moral agent, we are to praise God, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The powers of man were brought into activity by God, and can be kept in health and soundness by being intelligently and proportionately worked. More people die from idleness than from overwork. The agency of God can be discerned by all who are enlightened by the word of God. Man is not furnished with machinery, set in motion like the machinery of a clock, and then left to himself to take care of these wonderful organs. No, the agency of God is constantly at work to preserve his wonderful workmanship. Satan is busily at work inventing schemes to make man, through his disregard and violation of the physical laws which God has established, become disordered. Through tempting him to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, the enemy would lead man to obtain a knowledge which, instead of enabling him to cooperate with God to preserve every one of the organs, will have a tendency to weaken and depress the human machinery, that it may not be perfect to act its part as God designs it shall do. But God designs that the organs shall be healthy and ready for use, ever at the command of the human agent, to move in their respective lines of exercise under an intelligent knowledge, and in the power derived from God. This system is made up of different parts fitted to work harmoniously, and so arranged and proportioned as to make one complete whole. It is the misuse and violation of nature's law that keeps some parts of the human machinery in action, while others are left to become weak through disuse. God designs that the whole being shall be proportionately worked, that every part of the wonderful machinery may act in harmony with the other. We are not to act in accordance with perverted ideas and customs, but in the intelligence which God has given. We are to preserve simplicity, to maintain the natural form and motions of the body, and not educate the mind and body to meet the customs and fashions of this degenerate age. Man and nature, physicians make much of powers inherent in I remember well the reproof given to Dr. Sprague in Fairfield, physicians early connected with the sanitarium at Battle Creek, Michigan, that they had made the mistake so common with physicians, that science was everything. Satan was weaving his net about their feet, and very much was made of the powers inherent in man and nature, and this matter became so subtle in its influence, as they viewed it, that the power and glory of God were not exalted. They were wandering in the mazes of skepticism. The ordinances of grace, which would have kept alive the spark of faith, were not deemed of vital importance. They had no oil in their vessels with their lamps. They saw no necessity for the instrumentalities God employs through which the lamps were to be kept burning. Even the mediatorial work of Christ, through which is to be derived whatever tends to illuminate the understanding and warm the heart, was not felt by them to be a necessity. Mania, moral and mental. There is a moral as well as a mental mania. When this is the case, humanity seems to be displaced, to drop out of the being. Another power takes possession and control. Matter created when world was made, it is not depth of reasoning that is to be productive of the most good. The world by human wisdom knew not God, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. No amount of reasoning or explanation can tell the whys and wherefores of the creation of the world. It is to be understood by faith in the great creative power. By faith we must believe in the mighty working creative power of God through Jesus Christ. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear, are not present to the eye. This is a matter that can be stated, but mere reasoning will never convince one of the truth of the statement. Mental depression, effects on health, sadness deadens the circulation in the blood vessels and nerves, and also retards the action of the liver. It hinders the process of digestion and of nutrition, and has a tendency to dry up the marrow of the whole system. Mental depression causes dyspepsia, and this aggravates the mental disorder. Mesmeric influence exerted by ministerial course is causing great perplexity among those best acquainted with you. You seem to have a power which many would think it a sin to term anything but the power of God, but your influence does not tend to strengthen, establish, settle them as to the operations of the Spirit of God. The Lord has shown me that you employ human and mesmeric influence to move upon minds. In your labors it is often the case that that which is attributed to divine power is from a human source. You yourself have at times been amazed that your brethren and sisters should regard you as moved by the power of God. You are deceiving and being deceived. You serve yourself and attract the people to yourself. Your brethren and sisters are certainly deceived in you. Mind, tranquilized by quiet work, it is not for me to lay out for you a definite line of work. But you should work, if possible, in some place where your mind will be kept in even balance, where you can be peaceful and quiet, where you will not be consulted on many questions. It is not best for you to have supervision over many things. Your mind should not be overtaxed. This would be a great injury to you. When too many perplexities are placed upon you, the blood rushes to your head, and you give way to an intensity of feeling that endangers your health. If you should take upon you perplexities in which large interests are involved, the confusion that would come as the result of planning for the management of many things would not be for your own good, or for the best interests of the cause of God. Those who would place upon you a variety of duties requiring the most careful management are making a mistake. Your mind needs to be tranquilized. You are to do a work that will not produce friction in your mind. You are to keep your conscience in the fear of God, according to the Bible standard, and you are to make steady improvement, that you may not be in any way unfitted for the work God has given you to do. Mind cure, the only true, the whole science of salvation is contained in accepting Christ as a personal, sin-pardoning Savior. He died for sinful, erring human beings. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the only true mind cure, the only thing that can save the perishing soul. Human beings, with all their defects, all their willful stubbornness, may come to Christ in humility, contrition, and sincere repentance, and receive pardon. Christ will take away their sins, and impute to them his righteousness. The Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ and presents them to the earnest suppliant, and the salvation of the soul is insured. Miracles, Satan employs earth, air, water to perform. Satan is working to the utmost to make himself as God, and to destroy all who oppose his power. And today the world is bowing before him. Behold Satan's miracle-working power. Every object in the earth, in the air, and in the water has been employed to confirm his claim. Those who yield to these claims are alive with intense activity, one influencing and stimulating another by confirming the greatness and glory of their kingdom. See the activity, the restless surging of the mass and their determination to take and occupy the place of the throne of God. What eagerness, what rage they exhibit in their religious enthusiasm. Mark the defiant rebellion written in their countenances. Their warfare is against their Creator and Redeemer. How vast is the procession they form. How mighty they think themselves to be in their countless numbers. But they do not see all things. The cloud of judicial wrath hangs over them, containing the elements that destroyed Sodom. John saw this multitude. Christ, the true missing link between God and humanity, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we would ask you to pray that in every church in America, and in this far-off country Australia, we may find the missing link between God and humanity. This link is Christ Jesus. We have no time for dissension, no time for selfishly seeking to be first. God is our Father. His law represents his character. Man is to sense his responsibility in behalf of perishing souls. Then there will be deep, earnest efforts made to uplift the fallen. Muscles must be exercised to preserve vitality. My brother, will you not cooperate with the great healer? It is necessary that you exercise your muscles as well as your nerves. While you are here at Loma Linda, or wherever you may be, do not neglect physical exercise. The hands, the feet, all the muscular organs were created for action. And if you do not exercise these organs and your brain power proportionately, you will lose that vitality which you should preserve. The Lord has instructed me to tell you that you are to use the members of the body as well as the brain. Find something that you can do about the place, and make it a special charge to use the limbs and also the organs of speech. God gave these members for use, not to remain idle. Narcotics, introduction of, into foreign lands by Christians, a cause for judgment. The whole heathen world will rise up in judgment against those whom heaven has favored the most, but who have placed themselves on Satan's side, and worked in his lines to bring their soul-destroying narcotics to foreign lands, to pollute and destroy the heathen nations with their defiling and health-destroying drugs. For the sake of a revenue, a professedly Christian nation have forced their traffic upon the heathen nations at the point of the sword, and thus compelled them to accept their merchandise, which would in using degrade the people below the level of the brute creation. Natural law, forces of nature under control of John beheld four angels standing on the corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the winds should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. These symbols are illustrative of the troubles that will come upon the earth, but that the angels of God have been mercifully holding back until the servants of God should be sealed in their foreheads. Winds and earthquakes and tempests are not capricious outbreaks of unregulated mechanical forces. All nature is in the fullest sense under the control of physical law. It is the expression of a higher will. He holdeth the winds in his fists, he gathereth the waters in the hollow of his hands, he mocketh the clouds his chariots. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Let not human wisdom dethrone and defy the great sovereign of the universe. He that made the world, and all things that are therein, he is the sustainer. All nature is but the working out of the laws which he has made, a manifestation of his sovereign will. Natural law, cause and effect in it is a wonderful and grand fact that in the laws of God and nature, effect follows cause with unerring certainty. The seed sown will produce a harvest of its kind. So it is in human nature. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. If human beings would consider that they are making their own harvest, they would be careful what seed they sow. Natural world, like fountain that deepens and broadens beneath the gaze, all the lessons of the natural world reveal the providence of God. He who has this lesson book open before him, and becomes a student thereof, will find himself looking into a fountain that deepens and broadens beneath his gaze. From the Old Testament, he can store up the most precious instruction, the gospel being the key. Nature, true philosophy of in his wonderful Sermon on the Mount, Christ used the lilies of the field in their natural loveliness to illustrate a great truth. His language is adapted to the opening intellect of child life. The great teacher brought his hearers in contact with nature that they might listen to the voice which speaks in all created things. And as their hearts became tender and their minds receptive, he helped them to interpret the spiritual teachings of the scenes upon which their eyes rested. The parables, by means of which he loved to teach lessons of truth, show how open his spirit was to the influences of nature, and how he delighted to gather spiritual teaching from the surroundings of daily life. The Lord Jesus would have the true philosophy of nature's great lesson book opened before the mind. Parents, take time to teach your children to distinguish between the genuine and the artificial. Christ points us to the lily of the field, telling us to learn from it a lesson of simplicity and trust in God. Nature, an index to illustrate the divine greatness. Christ converted all nature into an index to illustrate his greatness, his goodness, his love. Water, air, light, life, these Christ used to illustrate his work and his character. Nature retaliates against abuse under the supposed wisdom of men. Nature is placed where she becomes a destructive agency. The good things which were given to man only to bless him are converted into a curse. By the use of wine and liquor, men become slaves to appetite. God does not interpose and work a miracle to convert evil into good, for he has laid all nature under his eternal laws. Let there be no peace to the wicked, he says. Let everything be at war with him. And nature responds, there shall be none. If man takes himself in his own hands to do with himself as he pleases, if he works against God and nature, his indulgences will become to him the instruments of death. Under the hand of God, nature ministers against the transgressors of God's laws. She holds her destructive elements in her bosom till the time when they shall break forth to destroy man and purify the earth. When Pharaoh defied God through Moses and Aaron, saying, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Nature expressed her sympathy with her injured maker, and cooperated with God to avenge the insult to Jehovah. All Egypt was laid desolate because of the stubborn resistance of Pharaoh. Nature will not forgive injuries done to her machinery. Nature will not be imposed upon. She will not forgive the injuries done to the wonderful, delicate machinery. The pale, weak student is a continual reproach to health reform. Far better would it be for students to go outdoors and work in the soil. Exercise is good. God designs that all parts of the human machinery shall be worked. There should be regular hours for working, regular hours for eating, without studying the exact cost of every article of food and providing the cheapest kind. Procure those articles of food that are the best for making steam to run the living machinery. There is no extravagance in providing those articles of food that the system can best take in and digest, and send to every part of the living organization that all may be nourished. Nature and Christ, mirror of divinity. I am the true vine, Christ declared. He used the figure of the vine that as we look upon it, we may call to remembrance his precious lessons. Rightly interpreted, nature is the mirror of divinity. Christ pointed to the vine and its branches. I give you this lesson that you may understand my relationship to you and your relationship to me. There was not the least excuse for his hearers to misunderstand his words. The figure he used was as a mirror held up before them, that they might understand his connection with them. This lesson will be repeated to the ends of the earth. All who receive Christ by faith become one with him. The branches are not tied to the vine by any mechanical process or artificial fastening. They are united to the vine and have become part of it. They are nourished by the roots of the vine. So those who receive Christ by faith become one with him in principle and action. They are united to him, and the life they live is the life of the Son of God. They derive their life from him who is life, nature, lessons from, contrast of nature and man in obedience to God. These words, from Zechariah 7 verses 11 to 14, quoted in preceding paragraph, are very impressive. The Lord calls upon dew and rain and the varied agencies of nature, and they obey his call, to be used either in blessings or in judgments. They are under his control. Inanimate nature is represented as being shocked at man's disregard for God's word. God calls for famine and plague and pestilence, for calamities by sea and by land to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The things of nature spring in response to the word of God to do his bidding either in wasting and destruction, or in mercies and blessings. How striking is the contrast between the things of nature, the material agencies, and the tardy inattention and slothful disobedience of men, those for whom Christ has died. Saith the Lord, ye have let my house lie waste, and I will send on all that is yours a wasting drought. This reaches not only the fruit of the ground, but the living creatures. The cattle must suffer because of the sins of men. All the fruits of the land, the vineyards, the corn, the gardens, God sent to the remnant people according to all that he had commanded Zechariah to speak. Nature, lessons from, spiritual reality. Christ seeks to reach the understanding through the actual occurrences and events that take place in this world. Human life in all its bearings is similar to nature. By natural things Christ illustrated the things of the kingdom of God. Nature, lessons from, to teach faith in God's providence. The seventh year after they, Israel, settled in Canaan was to be a Sabbath year. All agricultural business was to stop. There was to be no planting or sowing. For 1 year the people were to depend wholly on the Lord, having faith in his arrangements as the householder. The land needed a rest in order to renew the forces necessary for growth. That which grew of itself was the common property of the poor and the stranger, the cattle and the herds. Thus the land was to receive rest, and the poor and the cattle a feast. This was to show that nature was not God, that God controlled nature. God designed that from nature his church should constantly learn important lessons. They were to cherish a vivid sense that God was the manager, the householder. They were to know the reality of his presence and his providential care over all the earth. They were to realize that all nature was under his supervision, all the productions of the ground under his ministration. This was to give them faith in his providence. He could withhold his blessings or bestow them. Nature not God, but testifies of God. Nature is not God nor ever was God. God is in nature. The voice of nature testifies of God, but nature is not God. It but bears a testimony of God's power as his created works. There is a personal God, the Father. There is a personal Christ, the Son. Nature declares the glory of God. The psalmist says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." Some may suppose that these grand things in the natural world are God, but they are not God. They but show forth his glory. The ancient philosophers prided themselves upon their superior knowledge. But let us read the inspired apostles' understanding of the matter. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things, who change the truth of God into a lie, and worship the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Will we consider this? In its human wisdom, the world knows not God. Its wise men gather an imperfect knowledge of God and His created works, and then in their foolishness exalt nature and the laws of nature above nature's God. Nature is an open book which reveals God. All who are attracted to nature may behold in it the God that created nature. But those who have not a knowledge of God in their acceptance of the revelation God has made of Himself in Christ will obtain only an imperfect knowledge of God in nature. This knowledge, so far from giving elevated conceptions of God, so far from elevating the mind, the soul, the heart, and bringing the whole being into conformity to the will of God, will make men idolaters. Professing to be wise men, they become fools. Those who think they can obtain the knowledge of God aside from the representative whom the Word declares is the express image of His person, will need to become fools in their own estimation before they can be wise. Christ came as a personal Savior. It is impossible to gain a perfect knowledge of God from nature, for nature itself is imperfect. A curse and blight is upon it. Yet the things of nature, marred as they are by the blight of sin, inculcate truths regarding the skillful master artist. One omnipotent in power, great in goodness, in mercy, and love, has created the earth, and even in its blighted state much that is beautiful remains. Nature's voice speaks, saying that there is a God back of nature, but it does not in its imperfections represent God. Nature cannot reveal the nature and character of God in His moral perfection. Nature and the Bible, nature an expositor of the Bible, nature is an expositor of the Word of the living God. Omnipotence, God exerts over Himself the long-suffering of God is remarkable, for it indicates that He is putting constraint upon His own attributes. It is His omnipotence exerted over Himself. Why has the Lord borne with the continual increase of defiance against His laws, given to govern the human agencies He has created? He has borne long with their perversity, and at the same time He has been giving continual light to those who remain obedient. He sees that life is becoming intolerable because of cruelty. This is because men have changed His laws. Omniscience of God, should the Lord Jesus anoint the eyes of fallen mortals, and lay open to their inspection the mysteries of His providence, they would see that not for a moment has any transaction of any human being been unknown to the Lord. Onion, great virtue in well-cooked. There is great virtue in well-cooked onions. Ask, He can tell you of the good that onions will do. Organism, human, a wonderful machine. The human organism is a wonderful piece of machinery, but it can be abused. The stomach can be, and often is, overtaxed, and compelled to serve its tyrannical master like a slave. The transformation of food into good blood is a wonderful process, and all human beings should be intelligent upon this subject. In order that the digestive fluids may be called into action, and the saliva become mixed with the food, the teeth must do their work carefully and thoroughly. Each organ of the body gathers its nutrition to keep its different parts in action. The brain must be supplied with its share, the bone with its portion. The great master builder is at work every moment, supplying every muscle and tissue, from the brain to the ends of the fingers and toes, with life and strength. Day by day the human structure performs its work under the great master architect, who superintends every function of the body, seeking to make it into a glorious temple for Himself. When God works so wondrously, man, the human agent, should become intelligent in regard to the machinery of his body, that this temple of God shall not be misused. Pantheism, a fearful misrepresentation to take the works of God and represent them to be God, is a fearful misrepresentation. This misrepresentation of God I was called upon to oppose at the beginning of my work, when the Lord sent me forth to proclaim the message that He should give me to speak. My labors on this line began when I was 17 years old, and since then I have been over the ground again and again. Case after case has been presented to me, and the power of God has rested on me as I have stood before large assemblies and called out the name of those who were entertaining false views, telling them where such views would lead them if they did not change. I have seen the results of these fanciful views of God in apostasy, spiritualism, free-lovism. The free-love tendencies of these teachings were so concealed that it was difficult to present them in their real character. Until the Lord presented it to me, I knew not what to call it, but I was instructed to call it unholy spiritual love. Piano tuning may affect nervous system. My brother, you are a sick man. You need different employment. You are engaged in a business that is exceedingly trying to the nervous system. If you could take up some work less trying, if you could get a piece of ground and for a year work out of doors, away from all the perplexities of business, it might save your brain and your soul. It is not wise, merely because you can make money readily, to continue in the work of tuning pianos, if this affects your nervous system. In many cases I have advised out-of-door work for piano tuners, telling them that unless they change their business, they would have to deal with insanity. We are made up of nerves and senses, as well as conscience and affections. All parts of the living machinery are to be wisely cared for and considerately treated. The Lord has respect for the body as well as the soul. Pictures, God makes best. Upon mind, God can make pictures upon the mind's eye more beautiful and correct than can be made by the greatest artist who has ever presented to the world a representation of heavenly things. Pictures, God taking, of his people, remember that this world is God's daguerreotype office. The pictures of all who live here, old or young, are being made in the books of heaven. What shall the likeness be? Plants and trees, fruit bearing, God's miracle in there is the closest connection between God and nature. God works a miracle upon every plant and upon every tree that beareth fruit, and the Lord, under the express necessity of the case, can work an instantaneous miracle and prepare food. Nature without God is dead. The continual life of men, of trees bearing fruit, of vegetables, and of every living substance in nature is dependent upon the active, living, working agency of God. God has a continual relation to this world and to all his people. We have evidence that when men acknowledge their allegiance to God and do their best, by the touch of his hand and the word of his power, the Lord Jesus can multiply a very meager supply of food, making it sufficient for all. Rain, none before the flood. After 7 days it began to rain. Up to this time there had been no rain. There had a mist arisen to water the earth, but as the rain began to fall slowly at first, then more came, they began to inquire, "What shall this come to?" And at last the heavens were opened, and the rain poured down in torrents. Reason, lost, result of hellfire teaching and satanic possession. Reasoning we must have. It is one of the great masterly talents entrusted to the human agent, and is a great advantage at every step we advance from earth to heaven. The faculty of reasoning, trained and cultivated as a precious, entrusted gift, will be taken to heaven with all its improvements and sanctified abilities, to be perfected more and more in the heavenly school above. Paul reasoned out of the Scriptures. Jesus reasoned with his hearers out of the Scriptures. Sanitation among the Israelites. The Lord gave certain directions to the children of Israel. They were to gather at the base of Mount Sinai to hear the voice of God speaking the Ten Commandments. But first they were to wash their clothes. Again he commanded that no uncleanliness should be tolerated in the encampment, lest the Lord should pass by and see their uncleanness, and because of this refuse to go up with their armies to battle. Some people ask God to preserve their families from all sickness and disease, while uncleanliness and untidiness are seen in the home, with the very things that create disease. Can God glorify his name by working a miracle to prevent the plague coming nigh the dwelling of those who do not care to act their part to prevent malaria and fevers? The Lord does not work in this way. The human agent must act his part intelligently, keeping his body and his clothing clean and every room in the house in order. Then the Lord can approach his dwelling. "I will be honored, saith the Lord, by them that approach unto me." Sanitation. In health institutions and in homes above all other places, a health institution should have a perfect sewerage system, and its air and water should be absolutely free from impurity. We have had very clear instruction regarding the danger of polluted atmosphere to life and health, and we hope never to be guilty of the least carelessness in this respect. No pains or money should be spared to secure perfect sewer arrangements in connection with our schools and sanitariums. Message after message in regard to this matter has been given to those bearing responsibilities in our institutions. I have been plainly instructed that carelessness or neglect in regard to sanitary conditions, in the home or in public buildings, means a withdrawal of the blessing of God. Satan imparts scientific knowledge in the synagogue of Satan. He brings under his scepter, and into his councils, those agents whom he can use to promote his worship. It is not a strange matter to find a species of refinement, and a manifestation of intellectual greatness in the lives and characters of those who are inspired by fallen angels. Satan can impart scientific knowledge, and give men chapters upon philosophy. He is conversant with history and versed in worldly wisdom. Satan employs scientific scheming. We have seen the great power of God. The Lord has wrought in behalf of his people. But Satan is not dead or palsied, and he prepares minds by degrees to become imbued with his spirit, and to work after the same manner as he works against those who bear responsibilities in the work of God for these last days. In the future, Satan's last exploits will be carried out with more power than ever before. He has learned much, and he is full of scientific scheming to make of no effect the work that is under the supervision of the one who came to the Isle of Patmos to educate John, and to give him instruction to be given to the churches. Science, God's own created, Word of God in harmony with through Jesus Christ, God not a perfume, not something intangible, but a personal God created man, and endowed him with intelligence and power. The Lord is a living, personal God. A living, personal Savior came to our world to make of none effect the specious twistings and serpentine turnings of Satan. He came to carry out his plans written before him in a book. Men who had large religious knowledge, but no depth of piety or experimental knowledge of God in obeying the scriptures, were speculating about God. Christ revealed to men the moral and religious constitution. The uneducated heathen learns his lessons through nature and through his own necessities. And dissatisfied with darkness, he is reaching out for light, searching for God in the first great cause. There are recorded in Genesis various ways in which God speaks to the heathen. But the contrast between the revelation of God in Genesis and the ideas of the heathen is striking. Pagan philosophers, many of them, had a knowledge of God which was pure, but degeneracy, the worship of created things, began to obscure this knowledge. The handiwork of God in the natural world, the sun, the moon, the stars, were worshipped. Men today declare that Christ's teachings of God cannot be substantiated by the things of the natural world, that nature is not in harmony with the Old and New Testament scriptures. This supposed lack of harmony between nature and science does not exist. The word of the God of heaven is not in harmony with human science, but it is in perfect accord with his own created science. Scientific mystery. Do not study subjects of the light of truth which God designs shall come to the people of the world at this time is not that which the world's men of learning are seeking to impart. For these men in their research often arrive at erroneous conclusions, and in their study of many authors become enthused with theories that are of satanic origin. Satan, clothed with the garb of an angel of light, presents for the study of the human mind subjects that seem very interesting, and which are full of scientific mystery. In the investigation of these subjects, we are led to accept erroneous conclusions and to unite with seducing spirits in the work of propounding new theories which lead away from the truth. Scientific research, dangers, and there are constant temptations for physicians to exalt science above the God who is the ruler of the universe. There is danger that the physicians will little by little leave the simplicity of Bible faith in the power of God. This has been presented to me for many years as an active agency to becloud the minds of those who are studying to become physicians, and many have fallen over this stone of stumbling, and many more will stumble, because they are not humble men as the Bible declares they must be. There has been presented to me in a very decided manner the danger to which our youth are exposed in associating with the educators in a medical institution and listening to their arguments. If the youth do not feel their daily dependence upon God, they will be deceived to their own ruin. Here, my brother, Dr. J. H. Kellogg has been and will be your danger in your scientific researches. Unless you are daily increasing in the knowledge and love of the truth, growing up into Christ, your living head, you are in positive danger. I have not at present anything to say to you or elder in regard to the author of the book published. I have not strength to give to these questions, but I know that the Lord has been pleased to show me, in clear lines, your danger in the past and at the present time. Be careful how you favor these things that limit the power of God. The time is right upon us when the whole earth will be lightened with his glory. That light is beginning to shine already. And your special study should be to keep pace with the opening providence of God. For it is a terrible thing to be spiritually blind. It is fatal for man to feel safe to walk in sparks of his own kindling. Sophistry will weave for you a very fine web. I fear that it will ensnare you. Scientists cannot explain God's ways. The men most learned in science cannot interpret or explain the ways and works of God. Those only who have been entirely divested of self and selfishness and have been made partakers of the divine nature can understand, by the aid of their spiritual faculties, the ways and workings of God. To those who know him not, his ways are past finding out. Sense, common, philosophy of, more value than ancient languages. The philosophy of common sense is of far more consequence to the youth than the study of Greek and Latin. The brain is used too much like the abused stomach. It receives a great amount of food which it cannot take care of, and the result is that Satan comes in with his temptations and sows the seeds and causes ideas of infidelity, which the students have received from their study books and school education, to become a matter of great interest. A bewitching power holds the intellect, and works it until it becomes a fruitful field of tares, a curse in the place of a blessing. 7. God's symbol of completeness. The Christ of Patmos had in his right hand 7 stars. This assures us that no church faithful to their trust need fear of coming to naught, for not a star that has the protection of omnipotence can be plucked from the hand of Christ. If a star separates itself from God, and falls from its setting, another will take its place. There will never be less than 7, this number being God's symbol of completeness. Skill in common arts. God's gift skill in the common arts is a gift from God. He provides both the gift, and the wisdom to use the gift aright. When he desired a work done on the tabernacle, he said, "See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship." Sleep, loss of, results of cut down your work to that which you understand best. You have carried so many responsibilities that you are nearly bankrupt in mental and physical strength. Do not try to rush things as you have been doing. You cannot afford to sacrifice your needed rest and sleep in order to drive forward your work. You are wearing out altogether too fast. With overtaxed nerves, aching head, and sleepless nights, you have been losing ground physically, mentally, and spiritually. Sodom and Gomorrah, vines of, in the garden of the Lord, shall the vines of Sodom and Gomorrah be permitted to grow in the garden of the Lord? Will the terrible judgments of God be visited upon those who know the truth, because they have not formed characters after the divine example? Will God be obliged to say of his people today, as he said of Israel, "I had planted thee a noble vine, wholly a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine?" Let us subdue self. Let us overcome every evil trait of character. Then the grapes of the Lord will once more grow on the once flourishing vine, which will no longer bear the grapes of Sodom and the clusters of Gomorrah. So, subject to laws as are natural things, we are subject to certain laws, even as the plants are subject to law. Every tree will bear its appointed fruit. Disobedience to the laws that govern our being result in sickness and suffering and death. The soul is also subject to laws, and a disregard of these laws, by the resting and misinterpretation of Scripture, will result in the sickness and death of the soul. Those following in a path of error lose from the heart the genuine peace of Christ, and become like the troubled sea, casting up mire and dirt. Speech and conversation, science of, taught in Bible, our education in regard to the science of conversation will be in every way improved if we make the Word of God our study. This branch of education has been woefully neglected. Many receive diplomas from colleges who have not earned them by gaining an all-round education. Teachers and pupils are apt to skip the important matter of the education of speech. For want of training in this line, students lose much. They go from school to be deficient all through their life experience. Let all who have placed themselves on the side of Christ, the greatest teacher the world ever knew, learn from him the art of conversation. In this science, practice makes perfect. Spiritualistic spell, man under a Satan is making every effort to bring in spiritualistic sophistries, to throw his deceptions over minds. Now is the time for every follower of Christ to be clothed with the whole armor of God, and to fight manfully against the encroachments of the power of darkness. Let not our soldiers be found asleep at their posts. The world is to be warned. If ever there was a time when a strong spiritual influence should be exerted in our camp meetings, it is now. There are strong men, precious in the sight of God, who are under a spell. They do not realize that they are represented by the foolish virgins. Scientific spiritualistic philosophy has taken the minds of some from the message to be proclaimed at this time. There are those who live merely to criticize. They have been associating with those who have learned from the great deceiver. Their hearts bear the sting of the serpent, and they are prepared to enter upon a campaign of unbelief. Those who have fallen asleep at their posts are now to awake and trim their lamps. They are not to entertain one vestige of doubt as to the truth for this time. The hypnotism of Satan must be shown in its true bearing. We are not to turn our steps toward Egypt, but toward Canaan, the land of promise. Star, God reached Magi through A. You will see that in every place God works after the manner that he can best reach the people. When he came to reveal Christ to the Magi, he did not come to them as he did to the shepherds on the plains of Bethlehem. The wise men were reading the works of God in the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God, and God comes to them to educate them in the very manner that he could best reach them. He has a star, a wonderful star, to appear to them. Angels of God hover in the heavens in the shape of a star, and they see the star. And as they begin to understand that something strange is taking place, they begin to move, and the star moves before them. Suicides, some causes of the world, who act as though there were no God, absorbed in selfish pursuits, will soon experience sudden destruction, and shall not escape. Many continue in the careless gratification of self, until they become so disgusted with life that they kill themselves. Dancing and carousing, drinking and smoking, indulging their animal passions, they go as an ox to the slaughter. Satan is working with all his art and enchantments to keep men marching blindly onward, until the Lord arises out of his place to punish the inhabitants of earth for their iniquities, when the earth shall disclose her blood, and no more cover her slain. The whole world appears to be in the march to death. Teeth must do thorough work. The transformation of food into good blood is a wonderful process, and all human beings should be intelligent upon this subject. In order that the digestive fluids may be called into action, and the saliva become mixed with the food, the teeth must do their work carefully and thoroughly. Tendencies, inherited, perpetuated, that which in God's dealing with us may seem to be hardship, is really mercy at every step, arousing the higher nature, and causing an abhorrence of sin and injustice, and leading us to guard against selfish practices, against artifice and injustice, against every defective trait of character. If men would practice the attributes of God, they would not have the painful consciousness of transmitting wrong tendencies and traits of character to their children, to be reproduced in their children, thus communicating the evils that might have been repressed. Thinkers, deep, needed many obtain a surface knowledge of truth or Bible doctrine, and then stop, thinking they know it all. But do they know it all? No, no, God's word is, go forward. Because young men measure themselves among themselves, and reach a standard which others have reached, they are satisfied to stop learning. But the voice of God bids them go forward. 50 times as much might be accomplished in self-education than now is if the minds of men and women were awake to their own possibilities and privileges. Education of self means more than the colleges can give you. Men of true education are scarce. Men of talent are numerous, but they do not improve their opportunities, and their talents do not increase. When men and women hunger after knowledge for the purpose of blessing their fellow men, God will bless them. He will prepare the new bottles for the new wine. There will be an expansion, a development of the higher faculties, so that men will become deep thinkers. If the men who have talents would not settle down satisfied that they have sufficient for the great work, if they would dig deeper, there would not be such a dearth of laborers. We should have more spiritual teaching, and the hidden treasure would by diligent effort be brought to the surface. Thinking, action and reaction in the Lord made the brain, that the mind may be able to think to a purpose. There is action and reaction in thinking. God designs that man shall use the brain with a vital earnestness. The whole human machinery is to be under the control of the one who made man. Mind, heart, soul, strength are required in the service of God. Vital energy, sacrificed to lust, iniquitous practices prevail and weigh down the spiritual health. The passions are stimulated to excessive activity. The married life is so profane that thousands upon thousands sacrifice their vital forces upon the altar of lust. The whole being is degraded until it is impossible for truth to be received into the soul temple. Voice culture, the teaching of education, includes the important work of voice culture. The students are to be taught to give their reading and recitations such expression as will make them interesting to the hearers. They are to be taught how to use the abdominal muscles in speaking, and this study will prove to be a remedy for many voice and chest difficulties, and a means of prolonging life. Voice, hearing God's, or the echo of his, the voice of God is heard, but we may be so far away from him that we can only hear the echo. There are words of instruction coming from God day by day, and in an hour that we know not he may give words to his chosen messengers for us which we lose for want of discernment and appreciation. Then we go stumbling along in the uncertainty of night, and know not at what we stumble. There is a brightening glory for us as we advance, but which we shall never see unless we do advance. We may catch a few sparks, but that is all. The brightness of the heavenly glory we do not see. Therefore we cannot talk of it, or pray about it. Waists. Tight bands around some women think it necessary to girdle and lace their waist as though it were not made small enough. That is why we see the difficulty of such short breathing. Do not for Christ's sake crowd your heart. It is the machine of the whole body. It is the habitation God has given us. David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do parents consider that they are laying the foundation for an early death? I am sorry to see those broad shoulders and small waists. It is wrong not to let the human machinery do its work. Water, hot, treatments, indicated much more often than ice, the light which has been given me in reference to several critical cases has been represented to me as a sick child I had in charge, and in every case the directions given were, do not apply ice to the head, but cool water, but apply hot fomentations to the bowels, stomach, and liver. This will quell the fever much sooner even than cold. The reaction after the cold applications raises the fever, in the place of killing it. This direction has been given me again and again. In some cases, the ice applications may be warrantable, but in most cases they are not advisable. If the invalid has any vitality, the system will send the blood to where the cold is, and very often the system has no power for this taxation. Some cases may endure this kind of treatment, but I greatly fear for brother, if it is continued. Use hot water. In 9 cases out of 10 it will do a more successful work than the cold ice would do. Weight lifting and lung expansion. I was instructed that there is great danger of overdoing the lift cure, the massage, and the testing to see who can excel in expanding their lungs to the utmost capacity. Great caution is needed in this expanding of the lungs, for often injury is done which is never known, but the result is all the same. They lose vital power and weaken the lungs beyond remedy. Other causes are assigned for the feebleness of the vital organs, but in this testing of the lungs there has come to be a strife for supremacy, as a physician guards his point. Then there is the lift cure. This, many suppose, is doing a great deal of good. It may be if this is not overdone, but the result has been presented to me. The muscles of some never recover. A strain that is unnatural is brought to bear upon the sinews, muscles, and nerves, which the machinery was not made to endure. There is to be no violent or unnatural strain put upon the human machinery, for all the works are very delicate. And as the Lord has not placed before any the process of straining the lungs, would not physicians do well to use caution in dealing with these organs? There is such a thing as injuring the vital organs, when the human agent does not understand how or when. It will not be for the credit of your students to run any risks. Periods of rest should be given to every student. They should have a change from continual study to hard physical work. Physical exercise, combined with a student life, is good. Will, how lost it is possible for man, by yielding to Satan and the associations of the world, to lose his power to exercise his will in resisting temptation. The wiles of the enemy are constantly pressing in upon mind and soul to bind man a captive to the force of habit. Word of God, physical effects of study. The study of the Word is greatly neglected. If the Word is studied with humility of mind, the Holy Spirit will make its application. The entrance of thy words giveth light, says the psalmist. It giveth understanding unto the simple. It sends forth to all who study its divine principles precious beams of light. It is better than any drugs, and will give physical soundness. Worry kills. It is not work that kills, it is worry. The only way to avoid worry is to take every trouble to Christ. Let us not look on the dark side. Let us cultivate cheerfulness of spirit. I have much to make me sad at heart, but I try not to speak discouragingly, because someone who hears my words may be sad at heart, and I must not do anything to increase their sadness. Zeal, results of too much. There are some people who are too energetic. They have so much zeal that their physical strength is overtaxed. It is a mistake to overdo and wear out the strength by constant labor without taking periods of rest. If the whole machinery is used too constantly, and the necessity of resting periods and of varied exercise are overlooked, evil results will follow. The human machinery is created with all its varied nerves, muscles, and sinews to be kept in healthy action. If they are unused, they will become weak and feel the neglect. If overtaxed, they will wear out prematurely.